violence more than the Quran. The violent outbreaks in Afghanistan and other countries over the Newsweek report that the U.S. military officials flushed copies of the Quran into toilets at the U.S. Gulag at Guantanamo Bay Naval Base has led to denials by the administration and mea culpas by the magazine. In this literalist, legalized culture that is America, it is amazing not that a report was questioned and indeed denied that American interrogators flushed pages from the Quran down the toilet, but that other reports haven't elicited an equally fierce response by many in the Muslim world. Despite the Newsweek retraction and the Bush administration denials, there are reports from former Guantanamo detainees that precisely this kind of desecration did happen to them. But because the reports come from former prisoners and not anonymous high-level military officials, such reports are ignored. The Americans have invaded a sovereign country on a lie, killed tens of thousands of people, tortured people in Iraq, Afghanistan, Pakistan, and Guantanamo, and the desecration of the Islamic holy book incites international protests. That's partly because the Quran enjoys a distinct reverence in Muslim cultures that only the Jewish religious tradition approximates, but also because the desecration reflected more than outrage over that incident, but more like a culmination of many events crystallized in that one repellent image. If anything, the Quran incident marks the proverbial straw that broke the camel's back. The recent Abu Ghraib-related court-martials, which punished people at the lowest line levels of the military and essentially cleared most of the brass and other higher-ups, coupled with the elevations or promotions of people in the Bush administration who were architects of the tortures at Abu Ghraib, certainly didn't help matters any. The U.S. routinely ships suspects to its brutal allies in the Middle East for torture that is too rough for Americans to conduct, a violation of the United Nations Convention Against Torture. And what about those allies, huh? Saudi Arabia, Kuwait, Egypt, Pakistan, Uzbekistan, Kyrgyzstan. Nary a democracy among them. Sultanates, emirates, principalities, military regimes, dictatorships, or puppet states. Places where men, some of them American citizens, are tortured with glee and abandon, with a nod and a wink from the Americans. It is not only the Quran that is desecrated, but the human soul, the self, man, who is repeatedly and routinely violated. People all around the world feel nothing but anger at the U.S. empire for imposing puppet regimes upon them or protecting their privileged positions over them. They hate their alleged governments also with a passion and long for the day they shall be free of them. How many of these repressive fiefdoms would exist were it not for U.S. military support? Many times when people march against the American empire, they march in their hearts over their own brutal regimes. It is not remarkable that there were international protests against the desecration of the Quran by the Americans. It is remarkable that there were not more protests. Doubtless many of these regimes are using their powers of oppression to keep some protests down. We need only look at the recent carnage in Uzbekistan, where reportedly hundreds of people were killed by police and military forces, to get some sense of the state of these democracies. So much for this nonsensical war on terrorism. Around the world, especially since the Iraq invasion, anti-U.S. and anti-puppet insurgent attacks have exploded. And that insurgency is fueled not by Osama bin Laden, nor by Abu Musab al-Zarqawi, but by U.S. incursions and installations of puppet regimes in the Middle East. If it is a war, who's winning? From Death Row, this is Mumia Abu-Jamal.
These commentaries are produced by Noel Hanrahan for Prison Radio.